Well, today we draw a close to our series, Being an Overcomer. And we've been going through the pieces of armor in Ephesians 6 that we need to put on in order to overcome the trials and the temptations of the wicked one. And we started last Sunday on this thought of overcoming everything with prayer. And here a 24-word mention here on prayer in Ephesians 6 and verse number 18, emphasizing the importance that if we're going to be an overcomer, we must be a person of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we learn that we can do our best to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, our loins girded about with truth. We can do all of these things and having the shield of faith. But if we're not going to be a person of prayer, we're not going to experience victory as God intends for you and I as an overcomer to experience. So we looked at this last week. If you missed it, you can listen to it online. We talked about the persistence of the overcomer's prayer. We learned about it's our importunity. It's our tenacity to stay after that God often will bless. We talked about the possibilities of an overcomer's prayer. We learned that we can pray on all occasions and we can pray in all places at all times and for all things. And then we talked about the petition of an overcomer's prayer, that God wants to hear us tell Him what our needs are. And He already knows what they are, but He calls upon us to share them with Him. We learned last week why that was. And so now we jump into new material together this morning. Maybe you heard the story about a little boy who wanted $100, and he had been praying and praying and praying for $100, and yet there was no answer. And so the boy thought, well, I'm going to put some feet to my prayers. And so he wrote God a letter. And he wrote God a letter and he asked God for $100. But when he went to address the envelope, he addressed it God and underneath that, USA. And that's it. And he mailed the letter off. Well, the postmaster got that and looked at that and figured out, you know, where do we send this letter to? And after some debate and discussion, it was decided to route it to the president of the United States of America. Well, the president got the letter and looked at it, was amused by it, and decided, let's send $5 back to the boy, thinking that the boy would think $5 is a lot of money. And so the staff of the president got the letter together and reply in the $5 bill and then shipped it to the boy and mailed it to him. Well, the little boy was delighted to get $5 in the mail for sure. And so he sat down to write a thank you note to God. And this is what he said. And this was sent to the president as well. Dear God, thank you so much for sending the money that I requested. However, I noticed for some reason that you sent it through Washington, D.C., and they deducted $95 in taxes. And so he didn't get all of it, but God indeed did answer his prayer. And God desires to answer your prayer and my prayer as well. And we want to learn about overcoming everything with prayer. So let's look this morning at number 4, the power of the overcomer's prayer. There's power in the overcomer's prayer. Paul said, praying in the Spirit. Now, the power that drives our prayer is the power of the Spirit that lives within us. The Holy Spirit involvement in our prayer is necessary because we are a fallen people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, for now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Right now, we have as believers the Spirit of God living in us, but we have a daily battle at ensuing. We have the spirit and the flesh at odds. And so when we enter into a season of prayer, sometimes our prayers might miss the mark for God's will. Sometimes it may not be exactly what we need or what we should understand, but God understands and His Spirit prays on our behalf, and there's great power in the Spirit that we have within us. In fact, notice in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is of the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You and I are praying, but we have a flesh and a spirit that are at odds. But the Spirit of God in us knows us, knows God's will for us, and is guiding even our prayers to the Lord for what it is indeed that we need. Watchum Nee explained it this way: our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, His power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without the rail. Someone observed regarding Peter's escape from prison that it was the angel that fetched Peter out of prison, but it was the prayers of the people in Acts chapter 12 that fetched the angel. And so prayer makes a difference because it is so powerful, and it is so powerful because of the Spirit dwelling within us. When we pray, yielded to the Spirit of God, there's power in those prayers and things happen. Prayer moves the heart and mind of the Lord. When Jason Meyer was in graduate school working on his doctorate, he was going to school all day. He was working all night at UPS, and it was a very difficult schedule, and one in which he did not get a lot of sleep. Well, one morning he was driving home about 4:30 in the morning after working all night, and he recalls having a difficult time staying awake. Have you ever been driving and have a difficult time staying awake? And there's all the tricks, you know, you stab your leg with a pen, you turn on music in a different language you don't know and blare it up, you roll down the windows and turn on the air conditioning and try to freeze yourself out. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You hold your breath. I don't know if you've tried that one. You cannot sleep and hold your breath at the same time. Try it. It works. You hold your breath. You park the car on the side of the road. You get out and run a couple laps. I mean, I don't know what it is you do when you're tired and you drive. There's lots of things. Well, he was trying all of them. None of them were working. And he was just, Lord, help me to get home. Well, he was having all kinds of difficulty staying awake. Finally pulled into the driveway and literally could not recall how he got there. Have you ever been there, been so tired? And he pulled into the house and he's like, man, I'm thankful I am here, I am home, I am safe. But I do not even remember that drive. I was so tired. I don't even remember how I got home. Well, he got home expecting to find his wife asleep. He walked into the room and she was wide awake. And instead of asking, how was your day and how was work and how was school, she asked immediately, how was your drive? And he admitted to her that he was tired and quite frankly didn't even remember getting home. And she said, that's exactly what I thought. God woke me up at 4:30 this morning and told me to pray for you to keep you safe. And there's great power in prayer when we're sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and praying in that power. But number five, notice the precision of the overcomer's prayer. There's great power in prayer. And we want to pray according to the Spirit, but there's precision as well. Paul says, pray and watching. The word watching in Ephesians 6 verse 18 means to be awake or to be vigilant. God wants you and I to be awake, to be vigilant, to be aware of what's happening around us. And He wants us, based on that information, to be precise in our prayers, to identify what it is that we should pray for and then the strength to overcome specific challenges. In other words, we don't want to pray in generality all the time. Lord, bless our day. Bless class, bless my spouse, bless our kids. You know, what exactly does that mean? We want to be specific in the prayers, and we want to know what it is are we praying for. James and I were talking about his daughter Ashley and some difficulties that she's having with her health this past week. And he said, Brother Rule, pray for her health. Well, we're not talking generally anymore, just a blessing. We're talking about prayer. Chris and Emily Peatfield from our class had their baby this past week, and they went in Monday, and the baby was not born. I'm looking for my wife, I think Thursday morning, and there was some difficulties and some challenges, and there was some seasons there of just, Lord, guide this process and help little Megan to be healthy as she is born. And thank God she is. I got to hold her last night, and that was a lot of fun. So there's precision in the prayer. There's being specific and really getting to the heart of the matter as we pray. When the Jews returned to rebuild their homeland, and it was in great ruin. They found much opposition as they began to build those walls, and they were challenged in Nehemiah chapter 4. The Bible says, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, who those that had laded, every one with the hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Nehemiah said, listen, we're going to rebuild these walls of the glory of God. Nations around here don't want this to happen, and they're going to try to stop us. So we're going to build and fight at the same time. We're going to have a trowel in one hand to rebuild the wall, but we're going to have a sword in the other hand in case the enemy comes, so we're ready to do battle and to win. And that illustration is what we're talking about here. We want to pray with precision. We want to be on guard like those watchful Jews. We want to be focused in our Christian life on what it is that God wants us to do, but ever aware that there is an enemy out there that we need to be ready to guard ourselves against. In everyday life, as it presents itself, we want to pray specifically that God would help, and we want to pray against the powers that are out to destroy our life and to destroy our family, and we want to do that at the same time. It's imperative that we're asking God specifically, Lord, help me today to be the man or woman of God, the husband or wife, the father or the mother. And as opposition comes, help me to be ready. It's like the woman who prayed to the Lord, Dear Father in heaven, so far today I've done pretty well. I haven't gossiped or lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy and nasty, selfish or overindulgent. But God, in a moment, I'm going to get out of bed. And after that point, I'm really going to need a lot of help from you. And sometimes as we embark upon a day and we know all that's on the plate, there's a lot going and we indeed need the Lord's help. And we want to make sure we're praying specifically for that help. Can I encourage you to have a prayer time, a time in the morning where it's just set aside for you to have some time with the Lord, and then guard that time and make sure the prayers are happening there on a consistent basis. The Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We want to have an awareness about our prayers, a watching, being specific in our prayers, knowing opposition is coming. Number six, the perseverance of the overcomer's prayer. Paul said to the believers here in Ephesus, praying with all perseverance. Now, if we're not careful, prayer is a habit that we can kind of fall in and fall out of. It's kind of something we go to when we really need something or there's great opposition or an emergency, then we're quick to go to prayer. But when life is going well and there's a lot going on, sometimes we lull out of that habit for a while and we can go a season maybe without even praying at all. And then life back into a tailspin and boom, we're right back into prayer. But we're being challenged here as an overcomer to pray with all perseverance. Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to live the life of an overcomer, you want to pray continually. Persevere in this habit. Make this a daily part of your life all the time. Notice the scriptures in Acts 2:42. These young believers in Jerusalem, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They had learned something early on in their life of faith to pray, and they continued in that. The Bible says in Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There's many times where we need to work at just being consistent in our prayer life, day in and day out. And if you feel like, boy, I've gotten to a season where I don't know that my prayers are accomplishing anything. I feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling. I feel like I've lost my way in this area of my faith. Let me encourage you, within class, find a prayer partner. Man, I enjoyed the time yesterday morning with the Minute Man Up, and we're studying the book, The Rise of Servant Kings, and we had good discussion yesterday morning, but one of the things I love about that is just the spirit of having a partner to pray with and to encourage you and to keep you accountable in spiritual things, and maybe finding that, maybe going over to the bookstore and getting a good book on prayer. Beckham's book on prayer over there is fantastic. Ian Bound's book on prayer is excellent. Many good books on prayer. Maybe get a book on prayer and just refresh that area of your Christian life, reading about what are some other people experiencing in the area of prayer. I want to grow in that area. The perseverance of prayer, praying always with all supplication, being faithful in that day in and day out. By the way, we never know what a day is going to hold. We never know what a day is going to hold. When James and Lisa got the call about their daughter Ashley this week and the difficulties with her health, no doubt there was a calm and a peace and a moment of gratitude. Lord, I'm thankful that this morning we prayed for her just the same, even though we didn't know this was coming. You never know what a day is going to hold. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow. Anything could unfold in any particular day. That's why it's imperative we just remain faithful in our time of prayer. We don't know what a day may hold, but God does. And when I'm in continual communication with Him, He's got it. I can follow His lead. Number seven, we're done. The purpose of the overcomer's prayer. Paul ends this passage by saying, praying for all the saints. Now, Jesus set this example in His earthly ministry. Notice in John 17, 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. Jesus Christ prayed for the believers that He was ministering to. He was praying for the saints. Paul regularly visited churches and affirming the saints and helping them in their growth, and he prayed for them as well. Notice this in Romans 1:19, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, and the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul had a burden for others in their growth and was praying always for them. Job's three friends angered God in their conduct and their presumptuous judgments. But notice how Job treated them. Notice this in Job 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The very same friends that came to Job when he was going through all kinds of suffering and we're giving Job the what for about what sin is in your life, what hidden problem is in your life, why is God doing this to you? And Job sinned not, the Bible says. He was pure before the eyes of the Lord. And yet in all of that, even when his friends had kind of turned their back on Job, he prayed for them. And God stayed His anger because of Job's prayer. We should be in the habit of praying one for another. And when you pray for others, everyone wins because somebody will be praying for you. And let me encourage you to make that a habit of your daily life, to be in prayer for others. You never know what they're facing. You never know what they're going through truly. You want to pray for them. And at a base level here in our class, be sure you're praying for your spouse every day. Have a list of things, maybe jotted down on paper, on the screen of your phone or tablet. What could you pray for your spouse on a daily basis, calling those things out before the Lord? For those in this room where God has blessed you with children, praying for your children, just spending some time each day to pray for them, if they don't know the Lord, that they would be saved at the soonest possible opportunity, that they would have a heart for God and to live for Him, for their spouse someday in the future, and all kinds of things you could pray for. How about just having a heart being sensitive right here in class every Sunday morning? If you wanted to, you could leave His design every Sunday morning with a new prayer request to add to your list. For sure. Just going around the coffee and donut table and talking to people and sincerely asking, hey, Josh, how you doing? Anything I can pray with you about? Hey, Tobin, good to see you. Anything I can pray with you about this week? Hey, Matt, good to see you. Anything I can pray with you about this week? And just in sincerity, talking to people and asking, is there anything I could pray with you about? And then write it down and put it on the prayer list, and every day pray for it. You will be amazed how that will change coming to class for you. You will come anticipating getting to see that person. And just the very nature of it will be the question, how is that going? I've been praying with you about that. We want to be always praying one for the other, lifting one another up before the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to pray for those who have needs. We want to ask God to help provide. We want to intercede for others just as Jesus does for you and for me. Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf, and He tells us in His Word it is because He loves us. And can I ask you another question this morning? How can we do any less for people we love? How can I look at someone in sincerity and tell them, I love you, when I'm not praying for them? As a believer, if I love someone, I need to be praying for them. And may you and I be praying for others as well. I love the challenge of 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Let's not stop praying one for another. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for one for another. Pray for me, and I'm praying for you. Pray for next Sunday. Pray for the people you're inviting. Let's be in the constant habit of praying for others. Donald Whitney said, if you've ever learned a foreign language, you know that you learn it best when you actually have to speak it. The same is true with the foreign language of prayer. There might be many good resources for learning how to pray, but the best way to learn to pray is to pray. And let's just be determined, we're going to pray. The story of the great conductor who was walking down a street in Manhattan, and someone stopped him and said, "How do you get to Carnegie Hall?" And the conductor answered, "Practice, practice, practice." And that's the way it is with prayer. The best preparation for being an overcomer in the spiritual life and knowing victory is to pray, pray, pray. So can I encourage you this morning, set aside time, develop a daily habit, talk with God all throughout the day, get rid of the distractions, and find a place where you can be undisturbed to really get the heart and mind of the Lord in prayer. I'll give you the story and we're done. After becoming England's prime minister, Winston Churchill grew concerned about the ability of his war cabinet and the work of it if Germany were to attack by air as they expected they would. He wanted to know how the central core of the military would function with 600 tons of bombs falling all around it. Now, strategist has devised a plan to get all of the key leaders out of London, but Churchill did not want to flee, and so another scheme was put together, and it was a series of storage rooms beneath the Office of Public Works building, and they were refitted into a top secretary or secret military command post located between the Parliament and the number 10 Downing Street. This building was the strongest structure in the area. Workers worked to reinforce it with additional concrete. And then they installed a state-of-the-art communication system so that this could be operational even amongst all the bombs that would be dropped. Well, in May of 1940, Churchill visited the underground bunker, and he declared, "From this room, I will direct the war." He pointed his stubby finger at the desk, and he said, "If the invasion takes place, this is where I will sit, and I will stay until the Germans are driven back or I am carried out dead." For the next 5 years, these subterranean rooms were the nerve center for the war. Their existence was a tightly guarded secret. The communications flowed in and out of them steadily. From here, Churchill guided the conflict. He called the Allied leaders. He growled his famous radio speeches that all took place underground from this room. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." He was referring to the storage room in the average Israeli home. You see, in those days, the homes were filled with moms, dads, children, animals. There was very little by way of privacy. But in most homes, there was one storage room for supplies. It would have been small, cluttered, unheated, but it was a place where one could find a few minutes of peace and quiet for prayer. For the believer, Jesus said, find that humble spot and gain access to the presence of God. Now, may you and I find a place every day where we can spend some time alone with the Lord. And let's be an overcomer by overcoming everything through prayer. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What could God do in your life and family as a result of prayer? Way more than we think. What could God do in this room next Sunday as a result of prayer? Way more than we think. So let's enter into a week of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be overcomers. And as we have navigated this series, understanding the pieces of the armor of God, may we embrace each and every one of them and wear them. And may we strive to live the life of victory that you have called us to as your child. May we indeed be an overcomer. And today may we learn we can overcome everything by prayer. So may we not dismiss this habit, but rather may we make it a priority. May we find a place and set aside time. And this week might we pray with you, worshiping you for others, and that our life may be lived in a way that pleases and honors you. And Lord, help us to pray for what's going to happen in this room next Sunday as we kick off our new series, Marriage Illusions. Lord, we pray that you would use our class to make a difference in our valley with the love of Jesus Christ. And we'll praise and thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.